We're looking at miracles in the book of Acts. Kingdom of heaven is still forcefully advancing throughout the book of Acts, and I contend it's still forcefully moving right now through believers who truly believe the word of God. Jesus worked miracles in the early church to enable them to help people, to win souls, and to build his church. We need that same anointing and same power and same Holy Spirit right now in modern America. You see, great miracles continue to happen in the book of Acts as the kingdom of God advanced. I contend that the kingdom of God is still advancing under the leadership of Jesus Christ. We are his soldiers, his foot soldiers. We're in battle against the demonized forces of Satan, and we are here to drive back his darkness and his lies and his deception and to destroy his evil works, just like they did in the time, just like Jesus did, and just like the disciples did, and just like all the believers in the book of Acts did. In Acts chapter 2, verse 4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Verse 8, then how is it that each of us hears them in our own language? You see, no matter how you explain this, people praying in a language they have not learned is a miracle. And so this is one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, however you explain it. It says plainly the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in languages they did not know. You say, well, how do we know there were languages? It says, verse 8, how then is it that each of us hear them in our own language? These people that were men that were speaking, that were hearing them speak in tongues came from Greece and from Rome and all different places. They knew different languages, and they heard Peter and the disciples and many of the others speaking in languages they had never learned. That is a miracle of the Holy Spirit. He's still a miracle working God. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. We're living under great threats right now in America, good old America. We have freedom of religion, or used to have. If you preach certain things now, they'll try to cut your head off. If you say certain things as believers, they'll fire you at work. We live under oppression of the demonic forces, and they think they're taking over, but I got news for them and for you. They're not taking over anything. We're going to stand up and put them back where they belong. We have the authority and the power to do it. Devil, get under my feet. These aren't you afraid to preach the truth? I'm afraid not to. Afraid not to. I'm far more afraid of him than I'm some liberal secular humanist nut. Verse 30, stretch out your hand. They're still praying here. The word here shows us how to pray. Stretch out your hand to heal and to perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We need to be praying that right now. Lord, stretch forth your mighty hand and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons and devils, and cleanse the leper. Why do you keep saying that? Because Jesus said that's what we're supposed to do. But he said it to those disciples. And then he told the disciples, everything I've commanded you, you command the believers that believe because you preach. You command them to do the same thing you're commanded to do. We need to read the whole Bible. This is how we have miracles, is ask for them. Well, I never get a miracle. How many of you ask for? I've said before, you've heard me say, well, many times, God can't answer a prayer that's not prayed. So we need to pray and believe he answers prayer. The Lord answered their prayers. Enable your servants to speak your word. And then stretch forth your hand to perform miraculous signs and wonders. And so in Acts chapter 5, verse 12, you have it. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Verse 16, crowds gather also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits and all. Well, it's just not God's will to heal everybody. Well, they sure got it wrong because they thought everybody was supposed to be healed, and they all were. I didn't write any of this. You can listen to preachers just make up stuff, or you can listen to a preacher that reads the Bible. Which are you going to choose? These are why I want to take my kids where they have a better program. You better be more concerned about them, about what they're learning in that good program.
Amen. Amen.
Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. As long as God loves people, and as long as people have sickness and problems, there are going to be miracles. Sometimes he just works a miracle of mercy, and nobody even prayed, nobody even asked, no one believed. God just did it. And you can see it happening around us right now. Sometimes people just get healed. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And sometimes they're not even living right. Remember the guy at the Pool of Bethesda? There's sick people everywhere, and Jesus walked up to one man and healed him and met him later and said, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come on you. And the guy didn't even know who he was. Well, who are you? He wasn't believing in Jesus. He didn't even know who he was. Jesus is a miracle-working healer, but if you want a miracle, you need to line up with what he says according to your faith. Well, I just don't have the faith. Well, whose fault is that? You can get in the Word of God and build your own faith. I give you enough scripture every Sunday to choke a horse. And most of them are faith builders, like these right here. And look at this one. You say, well, what if I get arrested for preaching the gospel? Acts chapter 5, verse 18. They arrested the apostles and put him in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. They can't keep you locked up if you're doing God's will. Yay. We need to start believing the Bible again. Verse 20, go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people, the angel said, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. And he said, go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life. When we're preaching the full message of this new life, we got angels watching over us and taking care of us. And my word of God says, they that were incensed against thee shall be shamed and confounded. I think it's Isaiah 41. They were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. And they should be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. You secular humanist Marxists, you better leave God's people alone, or you're going to be in more trouble than you can shake a stick at. And that's just the truth. Years ago, a mechanic here in the church, this was many years ago, probably 30 or more, maybe it was way back there, a mechanic here in the church had a car fall on him and trapped him underneath. Didn't crush him, but it trapped him so he couldn't get out. His wife and daughter stood on opposite ends of the car and tried to lift it up, but could not. It was one of those big cars. One of these little things, just a monster car. And that's mostly what they had back then. Anyway, suddenly, the car just lifted up by itself, and he crawled out, and it went back down to the ground. How many believe in angels? There's still modern miracles, and if you have a desperate situation, just believe God, call on the name of the Lord, and believe that God would just drop a scripture in your heart. When you're in the middle of a tragedy or middle of a storm, middle of a tornado or a hurricane, I mean, you don't have time to go to Bible college. So you just have to believe that God is going to bring one of those scriptures back you learned as a kid or years ago or last week, whenever, bring that scripture to your mind and produce faith in your heart, and he will if you'll ask him to and believe. But faith is not just gritting your teeth. It's believing God to drop a word in your heart. I don't believe you can just believe. You got to meditate on the word of God until it quickens to you. My word is spirit and my word is life. When you really get that word in you, it's going to produce faith. Don't tell people just believe God. Believe the word of God. Believe what God is saying to you and quickening to your heart. And if you don't have any faith, then pray that God would drop something in your heart and agree with other people. God to drop something in their heart so they can believe. You can't just believe. You can't just make up something. That's what people tried to do years ago when they was telling everybody just name and claim it. Call things that are not as though they were. Well, that doesn't work unless God calls it first. He said, well, that's what Abraham did. It says he called things that are not. No, it says God called things that are not as though they were. And Abraham just repeated God. When he tells me that my strep throat is healed, I'm going to go with that no matter how I feel or how mad or how I look or how I sound. I'm going with that. I'm healed, you lying devil. Get your hands off of me. There's something wrong with you. Yeah, but I get healed, don't I? So just leave me. Leave me like I is. Leave me like I am. Verse 10. But they could not stand up against. Oh, no, I skipped the first part here. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. I mean, you think that's pretty good. You see, Stephen was not one of the 12 apostles. Well, it was those 12 apostles. I don't know where preachers really got that all screwed up, but that's really messed up. Jesus said, he that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do. He that believes on me, the works that I do, he shall do. He that believes, it doesn't say apostles. As a matter of fact, the apostles couldn't heal that little boy that was demon-possessed, and they asked Jesus why. He says, because of the littleness of your faith. But when they really became true believers, then they started working miracles. They were working miracles not because they were apostles. They were working miracles because they were believers. If you see me pray for someone and they get healed, it's not because I'm a preacher. It's because I'm a believer. And all of you who believe in Jesus Christ, you're believers, and you need to believe him to be more than your insurance guy to give you fire insurance. You need to believe him that he's your healer and deliverer and your miracle worker. There's too many Christians just believing fire insurance. Well, I want to go to heaven. I don't wind up in that lake of fire, but I want to show up at the pearly gates in style. You know, being healed and delivered and walking in victory with demons and devils under my feet. How about you? That's the way the apostles lived. That's the way the early Christians lived, the early church. And I said a while ago, I think before communion somewhere back there, what this is a New Testament church. If you see it in the New Testament, that's what we're going to believe God for. In Luke chapter 21, verse 15, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Let's look back at Stephen. Acts 6, 10, it says, but they could not stand up against his wisdom. The Holy Spirit gave this man wisdom. But they could not stand up against his wisdom. Are the spirit by whom he spoke. And we thought Milton did a good job. Fall ago. He is one of the most successful businessmen I've ever met. And every Saturday morning he's at the men's prayer meeting praying for wisdom. God has given this man supernatural wisdom. He has people work for him all over the United States. And he'll tell you it's not because of his greatness is because of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit working in him and enabling him to get the job done. And if he can do it for Milton, he can do it for you. Is that right, Milton? He said that's right, but not very loud. Can you say it a little bit louder?
Yes, sir.
Have you believe that? Wisdom is just the ability to make good decisions. If you operate in the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, you can get a pay raise because you make better decisions at work. You get more work done. I count on the wisdom of God every day of my life. Lord, give me wisdom. And a lot of people think it's foolish. Well, I even ask God to give me wisdom bearing a pair of shoes. And people laugh at me for that. Well, when I was in seminary, I bought a pair of shoes. It turned out to be too small, and it put a big corn on my little toe on my right foot, and that corn still was hurting me this week because I didn't have wisdom in buying the right pair of shoes. And God heals it, takes away the pain, and then I don't use wisdom and put on a pair of shoes too tight, and then it hurts, the corn comes back. And you have to operate in wisdom, even buying shoes. We bought a pair of house slippers not too long ago, just a little bit too tight. And I thought, well, I can wear these. Yeah, I could wear them all right, but that corn started killing me, and I was limping around, you know, because I didn't use wisdom. I should have thrown those slippers away. Praise the Lord. Anybody paying attention? For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Amen. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? Yes. According to you, if I believe that God gives me wisdom. Yes. I just need to be sure I listen and don't wear those slippers that hurt my toe. Acts chapter 8, verse 6. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. If you want people to listen to you, you need to walk in the miracle power of God. And need to walk in the supernatural wisdom of God. And they'll want to know what you think. And they'll want to know the source of your power. Verse 7, with shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. And here again, this guy was not an apostle, he's just a deacon. These board members, you know, they all preached a little bit the other day. And you can see, man, they at heart, they can really preach. I mean, they know the Word of God. And they get miracles in their lives. And it's not because they're preachers. They're not licensed or ordained like I am. They don't have the seminary degrees like I do. But you don't need that to operate in a miracle power of God. You might need that to really know the Word of God and not preach something crazy. But you can know the power of God. No matter who you are, if you're a believer. Verse 8, so there was great joy in that city. You see, Philip was not one of the 12. This is not the book of the Acts of the Apostles, but the Acts of the Holy Spirit. What you see in this book is the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through people. And the same Holy Spirit still working through people who will believe God. And it says in the last days, people deny the power of God. I don't know why we're surprised that most churches today deny the power of God, because it's predicted by the Word of God that in the last days, people deny the power of the Word of God, deny the power of the Holy Spirit, rather. I'm not going to deny the power of the Holy Spirit. It works in my life every day. He is still working through believers, he that believes on me. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. How many believe the Holy Spirit can direct you in being a soul winner and show you who to talk to and where they are, where the people are that will listen to you? Verse 27, so he started out. He didn't ask any questions. He just took off. The Holy Spirit said, go, and he went. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. I'm just showing you how the kingdom of God continued to advance even after Jesus Christ was back at the right hand of the Father. He's anointing people to be soul winners. He's anointing people to operate in the wisdom of God so that no one can even contradict them. Demons are being cast out. Miracles are still being worked all over the place. What do you call that? It's the works of the devil being destroyed in the lives of people. That's what it is. And that's still what he wants to do. Verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. God had the whole thing planned. The man of God just needed to hear and obey the voice of God. Do you believe God to speak to you and direct you all day long? And when you really sense you need to do something, do it. Do you? When Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Then, and he said, no. And Philip explained it to him. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip, now this was this was a mighty man in his country. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Most of these scriptures I'm using today is from the NIV. I make sure it lines up with the King James and with the Greek and the Hebrew, but it's one of the easiest to understand. And in some of these stories, it's just easier to read them, and it's easier to understand out of the NIV. God was still working miracles to advance his kingdom, not just through the 12 apostles, but in this case, through a deacon named Philip. Do not say the Lord cannot use me to be a soul winner, because if you'll listen to him, he will use every one of us. If we'll listen to him. Acts chapter 10, verse 3. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, I'm just showing you how God continued to work miracles. And after the Lord got back at the right hand of the Father, it seems that the miracles even picked up. He says, He that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do, and greater works than these shall he do. And then it says, because I'm going back to my Father. And so now he's at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is helping us do his work. We just need to be sure we have a prayer time, devotion time every day before we go out that door. Be sure we're hearing from God and that we're in line with the Holy Spirit and he's directing our steps. That's why prayer is so important. It's your source of communication with the guy that has all wisdom, all knowledge, and all power, and all the cattle and all the gold. Verse 4. Cornelius started, and the angel just showed up. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He said. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring Peter back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. And so the angel did not have permission to preach the gospel. Angels do not have permission to preach the gospel. That's reserved for us as our privilege. And we do not need to be afraid of it, because God will direct us and help us to win our loved ones. We just got to operate in wisdom. You can't do just everything you feel like doing or saying. You got to sense by the Holy Spirit in your heart what to do. And God will lead you and direct you. And somebody said amen. And so the Lord used miracles to bring people to salvation. And so we believe God to use us, that he'll work through us to win people to the Lord. In this case, the angel couldn't preach, but he told him where the preacher was. And you'll see, if I get through with the sermon, you'll see that that while he was working on this end, the Holy Spirit was working on the other end, working with Peter. And there's so many things, you know, we dream of doing. Listen, you're not going to get anything done unless God's working on both ends. And you really can't make God work on either end. So you just have to pray until God shows you what he's doing on both ends. What he's doing over there, that miracle deal you need for work. Sean Golden, he's still a part of this church, even though he's been in Charlotte, North Carolina for quite a while. He is on the men's prayer meeting by Zoom every Saturday morning, praying that God will give me good deals. You see, God works on this end to provide a good deal, and then he works on Sean's end to anoint him to close the deal. He's learned how to do it. Every Saturday morning, pray the Lord give me some good deals. And the Lord's working out. He's a banker. And God has given him good deals, and the Lord's making him and the bank look good. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, during this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. There are still prophets today. And God, you know, I don't like being called a prophet, but I'm a seer and a hearer. The Lord does speak things to me. I see things that nobody else seems to see. And it's still just the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to claim to be any great prophet. We all can be seers and hearers and doers up to a degree, no matter what our office is or no office. Yay. And this guy predicted a famine. Well, what's the value of that? Well, like Joseph knew there's going to be a famine in Egypt, and they stored up food. If God gives you a revelation like that, then you need to act accordingly and save up food. Amen. And if God shows you something, you need to pray, obey God, and pray over it. I mean, remember many years ago, Jimmy Swaggart and Marvin Gorman and Jim Baker and all of them got in a big fight. You remember all that mess? Well, God showed me that Jimmy Falwell was going to fall. Jerry, I'll get it right in a minute. That's not right. Jimmy Swaggart. But y'all praying for me? If you're not going to say amen, at least quietly pray. Jimmy Swaggart is one of the biggest disasters in Christianity, and I knew it was coming. So why would God show you that? So I prayed for over a year for that thing. It was the biggest disaster in Christianity. I mean, people come to church, they want to examine the preacher to see what kind of sin he's hiding. You know, it's a difficult time to be a preacher. And finally I got up one day and I said, look, I have more confidence now in preachers than I ever had in my life. They said, why? Because if God told on Jimmy, he's going to tell on the others. See how smart I am? How many think that was me or the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit gave me wisdom. Isn't that just wisdom? And instead of worrying about what all the preachers are doing, hey, if God told on Jimmy and Jim and Marvin, he'll tell on the rest of them. You say, if they're really doing something horrible, like especially some of them were doing. I don't want to get into that. But God showed me that, and he shows me things. He shows me things about people in the church sometimes. And very often I don't say a word. I just pray. And God answers prayer. Yes. Acts 12:21, on the appointed day, Herod, wearing the royal robe, sat on his throne. Y'all better get to praying, because I'm just barely halfway through this. And I'm not going to get all the miracles from Acts today. And if it's God's will, I'll pick it up next week. There's a lot of miracles in the book of Acts. And so anyway, here goes. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Verse 23, and we know it's important to be humble. Verse 23, immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten of worms and died. This is actually recorded in the historian Josephus, who lived during that time. But he said Herod saw an owl instead of an angel. But what he saw was an angel, and the angel struck him down. What does that tell me? We have evil leaders all over the world, and if we'll pray and seek God, God can take care of those leaders. Amen. Without us hating anybody, we just need to pray that God would save them, convert them like he did Saul of Tarsus, or take them out like he did Herod, or any way he wants to. Don't mess with God's people, because you're going down. What did Herod do? He murdered James. And then he put Peter in jail and was going to murder him. Peter was Simon the Reed. But after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he became Peter the Rock. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2, now man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. I just want to look at Peter here for a little bit. The fisherman, he kept his foot in his mouth. He hadn't graduated from any seminary. He was just a fisherman anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. Verse 7, taking him by the right hand, he, Peter, helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Because of this miracle, several thousand people heard the gospel preached by Peter. You see, to win the secular humanists, we need miracles. We say, well, they needed miracles back then. My gracious, it's just as bad or worse now as it was in the early church. And we need the miracle prayer of God. If we're ever going to get these Marxists and secular humanists saved, they got to see miracles. Acts chapter 5, verse 3, then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit? Let me believe that you can have a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. And Peter knew exactly what Ananias and Sapphira had done without anyone telling. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. The Holy Spirit can reveal things to you, your kids are doing, your neighbors are doing, your people at work are doing. Then Ananias, when Ananias heard this, he fell down dead. And a lot of Christians think lying is no big deal. Ananias didn't think it was a big deal either, but it killed him. And the same for his wife. Same thing happened to Sapphira, his wife. God's miracle power can reveal the truth and bring judgment, and that's what happened right there. And so God wants us to see the miracle power of God in his word and believe him for that same miracle power of God in our lives. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. If the Holy Spirit can anoint a shadow to heal people, he can work through us to heal people through his great anointing. Yes. Amen. Look at the miracles all the way through. And this church has experienced some of the greatest miracles that's ever been in any church ever. And we have seen it and seen it and seen it. Hey, it's time that every one of us really believed it and get out here and get people healed, delivered, and set free so people can really be ready for the second coming of the Lord. We've got a job to do, and the Lord's going to hold us responsible if we don't do it. That's partly what that playground is about. David and others have said, you know, that God will use that to attract families to bring their kids in here. Hey, listen, whatever we can do, we need to be doing it. If it's a playground, let's build the thing. And then in Acts 9:33, there he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden, this is Peter again, 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Judah, or in Lydda and Sharon, saw him and turned to the Lord. When people saw this miracle that God used Peter to work, they got saved and came to Jesus Christ. You see, the disciples and believers continued to destroy the works of the devil. That man was paralyzed. That's the work of the devil. And Peter destroyed that work by believing God to heal him, and he did. In Acts 9:36, in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas. I just want you to see what this fisherman did. This fisherman. Most people in this room is educated better than Peter. who was always doing good and helping people. This lady, Dorcas, Tabitha. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. So they sent for Peter, and he went to her home immediately, where many of her friends were. And in verse 40 it says, Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. Verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. You say, well, it just wasn't her time. That's right. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. He took her out early, and somehow they discerned it, and Peter raised her from the dead. And around here, if you're a tither, we're not going to let you die. I'm kidding. Acts chapter 10, verse 9. About noon the following day, they were on their journey, and approaching the city, these were Cornelius' men that he was sending to Peter. So I finally got to it, if I got time to read it. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by the four corners. The sheet contained all kinds of unclean animals. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The Lord was showing him that he was going to clean up the Gentiles, which is all of us, and bring them into the church. And so while Cornelius was sending his men, two of his servants and a Roman soldier to meet Peter and talk to Peter, God was talking to Peter, getting him ready. Otherwise, he would not go with the Gentiles anywhere. But after he had this vision, he realized that he should not call any man common or unclean. And so he went with them, and the Gentiles got saved, and here we are today. As far as I know, everybody in this room is Gentiles, so thank God that God worked these miracles to get us into church. Verse 14, "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure and clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back up. While Peter, verse 19, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." And when he got there, it was the Gentiles. And a Roman soldier was also a Gentile, which could have been quite scary. So this is when Cornelius and his household got saved. God working miracles on both ends. Cornelius saw an angel, and Peter had this vision. Let's stand.